Shut up and sit down.
Welcome to the Health and Wealth Podcast with your hosts, Tim and Carter.
What's trending in Richards? Carter Wilcoxon, founder of CSI Financial Group here, with my co-host and former wealth advisor, Tim James, founder of
ChemicalFreeBody.com and your new health advisor. This is the show where we reveal the connection between physical and financial abundance.
Hey, welcome back in Richards. Carter Wilcoxon coming to you live / recorded. Warm, sunny, 100 and almost 10 degree Phoenix, Arizona today. It is our summertime here in Phoenix, which I'm so thankful that it does get that hot, because otherwise, if everybody found out how nice it actually gets here in the wintertime, we might be even bigger than the 4 million population that we have here in Phoenix, Arizona. But as always, I am joined by my fantastic chemical-free body himself, co-host, Mr. Tim James. Tim, how are you, my man?
Dude, I'm doing really good, buddy. Doing really good. I don't want to scare everybody off, but I've been working on my health for a long time. I just did a 5-day water fast, and it was the coolest part was I was up in Portland. I left, came home, and then a couple of days later started the fast, came back, and it was actually my guitar instructor, Jeremiah, and the first words out of his mouth were like, "Dude, you look younger. What'd you do?" And I was like, "Water fasting, baby." Powerful stuff, guys. 3-day water fast is a complete immune system reset. So just put that in back in your file that away, because someday you can work your way towards that. It's pretty powerful medicine.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Well, I'm super excited about our guest today, Christian Mills, who is coming to us from the Denver area. And Christian is with a company called RMF, Reverse Mortgages.
Reverse Mortgage Funding.
Funding, yes.
There you go.
I couldn't remember if it was financial funding. Okay. And it's a very unique industry that you're in, and we're very interested. I know that our enrichers are definitely going to be interested in hearing what it is that you do, because you also head up the financial advisor division for RMF. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, we'll get into that in the second segment and everything, but as is pretty traditional around here on the, and again, enrichers, thank you for joining us for another episode of the Health and Wealth Podcast. But as is traditional, what we like to do is we want to find out, and our enrichers want to hear a little bit about how you got to where you're at today, right? So let's go back and, in your early career, or maybe it was college, whatever it might have been, the exposure, the influencers that you had that got you into where you're at today in the reverse mortgage business.
I'm fascinated by behavioral finance, Carter and Tim. This is something that doesn't matter how, if you measure you're measuring wealth by money or by your health standards or whatever, but how we interact with the things around us. And money is one of those things, at least in Western society, that we have to have. We trade money for things, and we trade our time to get money, right? So it's an interesting concept to me, and I've always kind of been fascinated by it. I certainly grew up in the Beaver Cleaver household. Mom and dad worked, mom stayed home. I got an older brother. But they were, my parents both were raised on farms that they didn't own. Right. So kind of it'd be called sharecropping or something in some circles. And we were raised to be, to pay our debts, but to also save money and not to spend more than we made. And it just, that didn't seem like a hard thing for me to do. But when I got into, later stages in life, early adulthood, I saw people with credit card debt and things of that nature. I had my first, W-2 job at 14, back when you had to go get your Social Security number. Carter, you might remember that. Tim, you had to go get a Social Security number when you got a paycheck job. And that started early. It was just reinforced at an early age, to save money. Even did a paper out for a little bit, but mowed lawns, shoveled snow, did all those kind of things and saved money. And it was one of those things I was interested in. Kind of took a winger after college and was in the ski industry for a number of years, the better part of a decade. And then when I got into going back to school, I went back and got a master's degree, and I started working for a trust company. It got into the 401k space, and the 401k, if without going too much into it, there was you know, we left the pension system in America in the 60s and 70s and 80s because they became very expensive, right? Because people live longer and healthcare becomes more and more expensive. And then we started with the ERISA, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act of 1974. And that's what brought rise to the 401k field. And we just said, you need to start saving for yourself. And we didn't really give people, and this is the collective we. There is, I'm not pointing a finger at any person or entity, so to speak. You know, but my first 401k had 93 choices in it. And I was, you know, 29 years old, 30 years old, and didn't know what to do with that. Consequently, I spun my wheels for a number of years, but I worked in the 401k industry for a long time, you know, for over a decade, telling people how to maximize their plan and talking to plan participants, talking to financial advisors that specialize in that field. And it just kind of, you know, now we've added some automatic features. At this last congressional act, the Secure 2.0, we've added things like automatic enrollment, automatic escalation, auto investing to help people who, because most of us don't know how to invest. I personally outsource all that to a financial advisor because I don't want to pay attention to what I have invested in. And I sleep great at night because I don't look at and see what happens to the market every day. That doesn't really interest me. So my interest is how people can prepare for retirement. You know, at some point I decided I'm too old. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to be an astronaut. I'm not going to be a firefighter. So how can I have a meaningful life that helps me sleep good at night and feel like I'm contributing to the greater good? And if I can help, you know, people in America have a better retirement and retire with dignity without being scared of running out of money, then you know, I think I'm adding something to society. So,
yeah. Well, that's a very extensive background. And, you know, when we spoke originally prior to you making the decision, and thanks again for coming on and being a guest on our show and everything. And this is, by the way, another first, Tim James, our very first reverse mortgage organization that we've ever had on the podcast. So we love having first on here. So thank you.
Yeah. Let me say this, Carter, too, because if anybody's listening and they're thinking about tuning out because of reverse mortgages, you should really hold on to this, because what ended up happening was when I was in the mortgage industry, I actually started doing reverse mortgages. I did them for 3 years before I exited and became a financial advisor. And what I found out was that most people are completely clueless to what they really are. I mean, completely clueless. They are a financial tool, and for the right situation, they can be game-changing, life-changing, like unbelievable stuff, like save people's homes, save their quality of life, you know, just get stuff done, allow them to do what they need to do. So I hope just stick around to the end, because I'm sure Christian and I will get into it, and we'll kind of uncover what they really are and how you could use them. Because what I used to do, Carter, is I used to have people I was doing seminars, reverse mortgage seminars, and just educating people, because that's usually what people need. They need education, right? Sure. And then I was trying to explain it to financial advisors and CPAs and accountants and some other people that I thought might be able to send me referrals, like long-term care insurance agents. Their garbage is our gold, and then we can hand them back the clients, and then all of a sudden they get those policies written. So it can be a symbiotic relationship for those of you out there that are long-term care policy writers. You want to hook up with a really good reverse mortgage person. But we can get more into it. But the whole point was I had these people, I started just inviting these professionals to come hear me talk. And by the end of the talk, they were completely sold, and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe this. And they wanted to do business with me. So it's an easy way. If you're a reverse mortgage person and you're doing seminars, you should be inviting every financial planner and just educating professionals while you're doing your talks to your potential client base.
Yeah, and we will get deeper into that in the second segment for sure. But I want to kind of go back to what you were talking about earlier and share a little bit more on how you were working with those RPAs, right? Those retirement plan advisors when you were doing you know, something, because I know from your bio you're doing some, you know, some custodial work and working for a trust company and, you know, IRA custody and all that. It's a very unique you know, arena in and of itself. So talk a little bit more about how you work with those retirement plan advisors.
So, yeah, you know, I worked for a trust company, and we had a division that just worked with retirement plans, mostly 401ks and then 403bs. And I won't get into all the minutia of that. But people that are institutional advisors are, they advise on a plan, and sometimes they will advise on the plan based on the industry. You know, if you have, you know, different groups of people where you have highly compensated employees and then people that don't make as much, you need to make the plan more fair. So, you know, the government has tried to make the 401k the be all end all. And it's a great tool. It certainly is. But people have to participate in it first to, you know, to make this happen. So my job, you know, I'm trying to move the participation needle from maybe 85% to 86%. And I never saw what happened. I never talked to the people that much, even though I would be in front of them saying you need to contribute. And if you contribute 6%, the company will give you another 3%. And, you know, here's how to maximize your savings. And, you know, that was all fine and good, but I never really saw the end result. You know, and actually I used to kind of make fun of the reverse mortgage industry, Tim, and I'm sure you are familiar with that. I thought it was stealing grandma's house. I don't know why I thought that. I gathered that from the ether. And then in 2012, I went to work for the Financial Planning Association. And that is that's the organization that kind of provides content and lobbies on behalf of certified financial planners. And that very year, they published three articles about reverse mortgages and how you could use it to fund long-term care, Tim. Mm-hmm. And also to have the standby line of credit. And these were people that I knew of in the industry, people like Dr. Wade Fowle, Harold Levinsky, you know, John Salter. These people are you know, they're well known in the financial planning space. And I was like, huh. And they published three articles about that year. And the Journal of Financial Planning is an academic peer-reviewed journal. They don't take advertorials. It is held in to a high it's held to a high bar, let's put it that way. And I started to get interested in it. And there was, you know, I worked with several companies and I started to learn more and more about it. And for most of America, the home is our largest asset. I mean, there's no denying that. And if you look at it from a static standpoint, until we get to the wealthiest 5% of Americans, the home makes up at least half, if not two thirds of their net worth. You know, and the other thing that people would kind of look down their nose at is, you need to make sure that you choose correctly with Social Security. I'm not a financial planner myself, but I've been in this business for a quarter century now. So I look at it and I say, you need to, these are some kind of blocking and tackling when it comes to financial planning. But if the home is worth that much, and it's, even if you pay it off, the American dream, right? You pay off your home. It still has a line item in retirement. You still have to pay your property taxes. You still have to pay your insurance. You have to do upkeep. If a hailstorm happens in Colorado, you have to replace the roof and that sort of thing. So how do we utilize the home? How do we add a liquidity component to that? And come to find out, you know what, the much maligned and misunderstood reverse mortgage is a great way to do that. So I came 180 degrees. I'm a convert. Don't get me going to cocktail parties because I will bore everybody there talking to them about it. But I had a change of heart. And I actually left the Financial Planning Association to go work for RMF. I had to get a mortgage license. I didn't have any background in it. I knew a lot about it. And I see it as an underutilized tool. And, you know, down the road here now, I joined in 2017. Here, all of a sudden, now we've got a market that's in flux. Homes that are, you know, the highest value that they've ever been. And, you know, consequently, we also have the highest home ownership rates for Americans 65 and above, because this is an age-based, you have to be a certain age, right, to do a reverse mortgage, whether it's a government-backed or a proprietary. You have to reach, a couple birthday milestones to make that happen. And it's, you know, people are starting to pay attention to this now because some of it is because they have to. They can't look aside at a home that's worth $500,000 or $600,000. If you're a financial advisor, at least you shouldn't be doing that. So,
yeah. Well, so speaking of home values, right? It's interesting. I was just on a vetting call with another advisor from Bozeman, Montana, and he shared with me that the median home value of a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house in Bozeman, Montana, is $865,000.
I believe that. Yeah.
And I was like, that's crazy. So as you were talking earlier, you know, about, you know, the home is half to two thirds, you know, your biggest asset that you've got. Well, that's exponentially true over the last, what, 8 to 18 months on values across the board, right? I mean, it's nuts what's going on around here in Phoenix. And, you know, Tim, he's in the middle of his parents' house and doing a rebuild or adding on to his parents' home. So I'm sure he can speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, it's not cheap. Things are completely out of control. And, you know, on a deeper level, I just see this as the end of a long process that, like, you know, that working class people are up against. You know, our wages have been, since the 70s, they've been getting crushed and decimated. And, you know, somebody making $50,000 today based on GDP growth from 1970 till today should be making about $120,000. Mm-hmm. So where'd that $70,000 go? Well, it went up river to elites. You know, during the COVID shutdown, the 600 billionaires doubled their net worth. And, you know, 74% of Americans have $400 in savings. So now costs are going up, building material costs, supply chain delays. I think I know it's all a coordinated effort. So working class people got to get, but there's going to be lots of opportunities opening up too. Like if widgets aren't being made in China, then somebody could open up a machine shop here in La Grande, Oregon, and start banging out widgets and start shipping them. You know what I mean? And there's opportunity all over the place right now. So I think it's a really good time for working class people and entrepreneurs to step up and start taking back the reins of everything.
You know, that's Tim, I'm glad you brought that up, because also what draws me to this is we have a lot of, you know, financial advisors and people that want to work with high net worth clients. I know you were an advisor in the past and ultra high net worth. And I'm sure you had peers that said, I only work with people with $1 million or above or whatever.
Right.
The reverse mortgage really is geared toward the mass affluent. And some of my colleagues would probably say, no, you can do a reverse, and you can. You can do a reverse on a house that's worth $10 million. But, you know, the bulk of the heavy lifting where this is really intended is for the mass affluent, for people with $1 million or less in investable assets. And we're converting a formerly illiquid asset, giving it some form of liquidity. And, you know, if we get into it later, but you don't lose the house. You're not, you know, signing anything over. The kids can still get the home if they want it, all those sort of things. So this is what draws me to it. Well, is lots of people want to work with the very wealthy. And we have programs for people that, you know, can't or won't or do whatever that are below the poverty level. What about nurses and teachers and construction managers and policemen, people like that?
So working class men and women.
If they follow the American dream and they, you know, and they bought a home and they have the picket fence, or they don't have a picket fence, they have a barbed wire fence or whatever, they can utilize their home to, you know, to have a secure retirement.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a really good tool. So let's do this, guys. We'll take a quick break. When we get back, let's just dive into it, and we'll kind of cut through reverse mortgages, what they are, what they're not, and we'll be right back.
Estate planning. What does that even mean? When the inevitable happens for everyone on this planet, your estate plan kicks into action. But first, let's start with what an estate is. An estate is simply everything you own. Now, here's the issue and what needs to be understood when this event occurs. You only have two choices on this plan. Number one, either you plan how your estate gets handed out and distributed to those you leave behind. Or number two, your state decides who gets everything you own. For the first time ever, you can now take complete and total control of this plan that you've been deprived of for most of your life and generations before you. You can get personalized assistance along the way with a team of specialists whose job it is to make sure you have true peace of mind. It's important to understand that estate planning is a journey, and rest assured that our team will be available to you all along the way and at every step. Welcome to eState Plan, home of the last estate plan you'll ever need. To learn more, make sure to reach out to your local advisor licensed with us or go to our website for more information.
What's up, Enrichers? Tim James here. I'm back with my co-host, Carter Wilcox. And today in the house, we have Christian Mills. And Christian, we were just starting to already get into like what reverse mortgages are and what they aren't. So that's what this segment will be, and anything else you want to chat about. So again, you know, I did reverse mortgage seminars myself for a few years prior to getting into the financial services industry. I educated a lot of other business professionals on it. And it was like, dude, one after another after another. It was the same thing. As soon as the seminar was... Excuse me. What's going on there? As soon as the seminar was over, they would walk up to me like, and I'd get done talking to all the clients, or dude or sir, wow, this is, man, these reverse mortgages, I had no idea. All of them were just blown away because they'd finally gotten the education on what it really was, and they never really understood it. So let's just get into it. Like, what do you think is the, well, I'll just tell you, the first thing is people think that they're going to take your home.
Yes.
The bank's going to steal your home. So why don't you explain to them how they're protected with mortgage insurance?
Number one myth is that you're signing in the bank, you're signing your home over to the bank, and you're not any more than you do with a foreign mortgage, which you don't. A mortgage, whether it's reverse or a traditional forward mortgage, is a lien against the property. The property is there to make sure that you pay the debt against it. So when you buy a house, most people don't, let's say it's a $500,000 house and you're able to put $100,000 down, you have $400,000. I'll keep the math very simple. The house is there to secure. If you stop making those payments, they'll come back and take it. The reverse is kind of the same way. You still have a lien against the property. And it is to say, okay, if, you know, when you leave the home, right, and a reverse mortgage comes due when there's a maturity event. So when you sell the house, when you pass away, when you have to leave and, you know, go to assisted living or something like that, then the house is sold and the debt is paid. And then any remaining funds would go to heirs or to that owner of the house, you know, et cetera. But by far, the number one thing that people still think, Tim, is that the bank somehow owns your home, and they don't. It's a lien against the property, and, you know, in the first position. So, you know, right. That's it.
And it might be like where they take out a loan and maybe they take an income stream. So like a reverse mortgage is kind of like what it says. So instead of the balance slowly going down, the balance will slowly accrue. And if that person dies and they take a look at it and the house is now worth, you know, $300,000 and they owe $500, well, they did really good financially. Okay. Number one. Right, because they were able to get $500,000 basically out of a $300 value at that point in time. But the mortgage insurance premium that they pay in the loan fee, which typically when I was doing it was 2% to HUD. Is it still the same?
Yep, the same.
Yeah, it's a 2% loan fee. So if they did a $500,000 loan, it's a $10,000 fee. But what that is that then that goes into a pool, and then the HUD gets paid, or HUD then pays the bank the difference for whatever the loss is when they actually do sell the home. So it protects the bank. It protects the people. It's a non-recourse loan, which means that children are not going to be hurt if there is more owing on it than what the value is. But in a lot of cases, there's still equity in there, and maybe one of the kids wants to buy the house or refinance it and live in it, or they all sell it and then they split the difference. I mean, it just kind of depends. So again, it's not like nobody's going to steal the home. That's not going to happen. I guess other thing too now is like, what are some of the benefits of reverse mortgages? So maybe I'll just go through what I remember, and then maybe you can see if there's anything new. So one way was that people could just take out a loan and pay off all their debt, and they have no payments, no nothing. That's one option. Another one is they actually, there's enough equity in there. They'll take a monthly payment. Mm-hmm. They could take an income. So now they have the house they're living in. And now they're making $200, $800 a month, whatever it worked out to be based on their age and the value of the home. Some people might do like a mixture where they'll take a small payment or a amount of a payment, and then they might leave $50,000 or $100,000 in the line of credit. And that line of credit actually grows. If you don't use it, it gets bigger and bigger, which is pretty cool. I actually saw a guy, a Christian, a husband and wife. They were very astute, very wise financial people. They had a $600,000 home with nothing on it. And they did a reverse mortgage. And I asked him, I was like, why the hell are you doing this? So he goes, because if something happens to me, you know, I want to have my wife have, this is just another asset. So they put this huge line of credit, and they never touched it. So this line of credit was getting massive every year, just growing and growing and growing. So literally down the road, if there was a housing crash and this $600,000 or $500,000 property is worth $300,000, they literally could have a line of credit out there, $600,000 that she could pull on. Exactly. Like insane. So a financial tool. I also used it one time for some people just do all cash out too. Some people just take out the cash in a lump sum. That's another option. And I think the rates on that are probably the best. But and then one thing that I used, I was always trying to be creative. So there was this lady. Her husband died, 4,000 square foot home, 3 acres. She couldn't take care of it all. Now that he's gone, he was mowing the lawn and stuff and keeping himself busy. And she's like, I don't know what to do. I can't afford this. You know, the taxes alone are like $6,000 a year. So I said, okay, here's what you're going to do. Sell the house, take the cash, and let's go buy a fourplex. So she did a reverse mortgage purchase loan. So you can actually buy a home with a reverse mortgage too. This isn't just your existing home. She purchased a fourplex, and then she just dialed in the kitchen that her husband never let her have. I mean, we made this house like dialed. Like, and then she had the rents coming in off the other three that actually paid the mortgage and actually gave her an income. So she moved into this quaint little part of a duplex. We set it up with a property management company so she didn't have to talk to anybody. They collected all the money, dealt with the tenants, and she had a really nice place. Plus, she had some cash left over in the bank. Huge for her because she'd lost her husband's part of the Social Security, so that replaced that. It was just, there's just so many different ways you can use a reverse mortgage. Maybe you can allude on a couple stories that are unique like that.
Yeah, we can, and they're all stories, and you're absolutely right, Tim. And that's the thing about this. The home is, it's not an asset like a sleeve of mutual funds or, you know, a stock portfolio or a bond ladder or something out there that might be, you know, a more complex tool. The home is also where you lay your head at night. You know, we all have to lay our head at night someplace, or, you know, we sleep somewhere. It's where we raise our family. Life events happen in the home. It's more than black and white, you know, so we need to treat it as such. It's not just an asset. It is much more than that. But, you hit on this because for the HUD product, you know, you have to be at least 62. One of the spouses has to be 62. So consequently, I think the average age is right now somewhere in the early 70s. The average length of reverse is about 8 years. But, you know, imagine a house back on the East Coast. We all live in the western half of the United States, but a $500,000 home, say in New Jersey, property taxes there are going to be about $15,000 a year. So I'm not making a he, her statement or anything like that, but the male typically dies first, at least in the generation that we have right now, because statistically,
actuarially speaking, that's a realism. That's actuarial math.
Yeah. And I should caveat that, but it's,
81 and 78, by the way, I think are the numbers.
It is. And the husband passes away first because he's going to pass away, you know, statistically fat first anyway. And he's probably older than his wife, at least in the generation that we have in there right right now in retirement. You mentioned it earlier. When he passes away, she loses the lesser of the two Social Security amounts, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say that he was getting $1,500, she was getting $1,000, $2,500 a month. That's pretty thin. And now we lost $1,000 of that. She gets $1,500 a month and she has to pay $15,000 in property taxes. You mentioned it at the beginning of the show. You can save someone's house with this. You can use the home to pay for itself, right? And the National Center on Aging actually publishes something that we send to everybody, which is using the home to pay for itself. So in that context, we take money out of the house to pay for property taxes, insurance, things that you just have to do. Because if you don't pay those things, they don't care how old you are. They kick you out.
And you know what's really cool? I don't know in the other states, but in Oregon, they allowed us to do this. Like if somebody was really broke and they had like no money, we could set up a reverse mortgage, but we wouldn't create like a, it's almost like a Medicare for taxes. So we would close the reverse mortgage. They had to fill out this income statement. We would always structure the mortgage so they had less. Maybe they put up a line of credit so they could grab money when they needed it, right? Or convert it later into income, which is another thing. The line of credit can be converted later into an income stream later.
Sure.
So then what happens is we put the reverse mortgage into place. I'd hook them up with the state. And there was like a window. It was weird. You had to get in during a window of time. Mm-hmm. But then the property taxes would be deferred behind the reverse mortgage too, which is really good. So now they have the reverse mortgage. And no property taxes. Are you able to do that in other states, or is that just Oregon?
You can, and every state's different. But most in Colorado, it's called the Homestead Act. And if you've lived there a certain number of years, you get a break on property taxes. Most states have something like that for older Americans and for veterans and things of that nature. But you know, to get back to the first question, that's just one way that it might work. So that's a, and we think of them, Carter and Tim as needs-based and wants-based. We have this continuum, right? And usually they're not on one side or the other. They're somewhere in between. Needs-based is I don't have enough money to retire on and I need to use the house. Wants-based is I've got a portfolio, but this gives me another bucket of cash to draw from. And I'll give you a couple of examples here. And this is where it comes in, it's become a tool for financial advisors, which is what I work on, what my expertise is in. So you could use it, I'll give you some simple examples. You could use it to defer claiming Social Security. Let's say you want to retire at 65. We know that every year that you wait to claim Social Security, you get another 8%. And 8% doesn't sound like a lot, but believe me, when you add 8% up over 5 years, it's a difference in what your monthly payment from Social Security is going to be. So you can draw money from the house while you're waiting to get to 70 to max out your Social Security.
Right? So this is why it's important to stay healthy, because then you can stick it to the government and get your money back.
It is. So a Social Security delay claiming strategy. Also for those wants-based clients, we have people that would use the house, right? Because now we have the market is in flux, right? The Dow Jones is up and down every day. At least that's what they tell me. Again, I don't look at that. But if you're a financial planner and you're working with older Americans and they have retired, you mentioned it earlier, you're in the accumulation stage, you know, while you're accumulating and saving money. Then when you retire, you're in the decumulation stage. So we don't think anything of spending assets down once we're, hey, we need to tap into our IRA to live, right? Because we need to augment Social Security. Well, you can also take money out of the house because it's called sequence risk, which is just a sexy way of saying don't sell low when you bought high. Right? Because if you bought Apple at $100 a share, and I totally pulled that out of the air, and now Apple's trading at $50 a share, but I need money to buy groceries. Mm-hmm. So, and I call my financial planner up and say, I need, $20,000 or whatever that is. The financial planner's like, ooh, the market's down. Yeah. I don't want to sell right now because you're going to lock in a loss. And not just the market's down, but I'm going to sell at a loss. I lock that in guaranteed. Yep. The house is a non-correlated asset. It's called a buffer asset. So, and I'm maybe going a little too deep here, but they're drawing from funds and not taking funds out when it's inopportune time for them. So it's a tool. We're talking about this. This is another bucket of money. It's tax-free. You bought the house with after-tax dollars. The money you take out of the house is considered a loan and it's tax-free. You don't pay taxes on it. The other one that we're starting.
That's really important for people to know that the income is tax free because it's actually a loan accruing against the house. So you cannot tax a loan. That's a correct. Very important point. And that's probably the number one concern the seniors had when I was doing work with them. They were, are they going to get taxed me on this?
You're not going to get taxed on it. Oh, the tax advantage status. And I'll give you one more play, which is kind of 2.0 that now market environments and what we're seeing in the market and where we are as a country. People taking money out of the house to convert assets from an IRA to a Roth IRA. Because you have tax preferred money that comes out of the house. You don't want to pay taxes in the future. You can, if you wanted to convert, whatever your tax rate is, let's say you want to convert $500,000 into a Roth, you pay the taxes one time, $125,000 versus over time, but then you say the property or the funeral tax or whatever it is once it gets passed. Now you're talking saving hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxes, literally.
Yeah.
So, I won't go in. There's many different avenues to do it, but we have to sit down and we need to talk to the people. What does your client want to get out of this? There's 90 different combinations in my company alone. So we want to know what, if you could wave a magic wand, what would you want this to do for you?
Right? Yeah. And maybe you're talking to some clients and you find out that their mom has their house paid off and dad died and she's on $650 a month Social Security and she has nothing. And, and the roof's leaking and the house is, it's going to dry rot and be worth a bare lot. So I actually had, quite a few of those where you would take these ladies and, like this one lady, she owed like she was barely able to make her mortgage payment. This little mortgage payment, it was like $400 a month or something, but it was set up a long time ago and, was able to pay that off. Get her about $600 a month in income. So that's $1,000 a month switch in income flow for her, which is huge. Fixed the roof and the siding, got that dialed, and left her with a $30,000 line of credit for emergencies. Completely changed her life. She was sitting there literally with buckets catching water when it rained, watching her house just fall apart. And now her house is bulletproof for the rest of her life. She gets to stay in her home. She got the line of credit. She's got this extra $1,000 in cash flow. So, I mean, these people would hug me. We had a client, we had a couple when they got their reverse mortgage, they actually built a new deck and then they sent me pictures of their deck. They got remarried for their 50th wedding anniversary and had their friends show up that were still alive. and then they sent me a big picture with a thank you card. So I used to, I mean, I have a lady who sent me a, she made birdhouses, and then she made this, she wrote reverse mortgage birdhouse thing on it. I still have it. I'm going to put it up. It's really cool. You get really cool clients and you're really helping people. It's an awesome tool.
It's great. It's a great job. I love what I do, and I love the work we do. And if you talk to people that do this for a living, I've never had one that I did myself where the people weren't thrilled with it. You know, they weren't, this changed my life. And I got a voicemail on my phone that I keep for where, you know, we help save a person's house. And she's left me a crying voicemail, and from having a tough day and I need to keep going, I listen to that. And it might sound a little hokey, but you know, you help.
That's a real thing too. That's a real thing. Back property taxes, and they didn't know. And all of a sudden, we actually had one of those. We rescued it the day before it went to auction.
It was
by the hair of her chinny chin chin, we were able to get that house saved. And I was working feverishly on that to get that done. What a great thing. And they're great clients too, because then they start sending you their friends for sure. It's like lots of referrals.
Absolutely. Yeah. You hit the nail on the head. You can change somebody's life. So absolutely.
Yeah. Really cool. Carter, anything else before we go to the next segment?
Well, yeah. You know, I just wanted to chime in a little bit about, you know, one of the things that we've talked about a lot, and Tim, your parents are actually owners of what we call our estate plan. You know, estate planning is a key component that a lot of times, and maybe you can talk more specifically, Christian, on what you see. You know, the statistics are staggering, and you're talking about 65 and plus, right? The issue that happens a lot of times is that a lot of the proper planning, you know, post-mortem, if you will, when these triggering events, as we call it in the industry, happens, you know, how are we ensuring that those assets are also not going to go through probate, and they're going to make sure that they're distributed properly and things of that nature? We need to make sure that we have that proper distribution plan. But, you know, the statistics are staggering. 83% of Americans, this is from Wealth Council statistics, 83% of Americans don't have this necessary tool that we call an estate plan, using wills and trusts and the combination of all those things. What have you seen in your line of work, Christian, on how does that 83% statistic line up, if you know?
It's anecdotal, but I would say that that's very accurate. You know, and it goes into why I'm in this business to begin with is, you know, as a country, we spend more time planning our vacations than we do our retirement. I mean, you know, you've seen and heard those kind of studies. So not giving thought, I'll do it. It might be, I've heard, you know, some behaviorists say it's because we don't like to think about our own demise or whatever that might be. But, you know, live well, you know, leave well kind of a thing. I know that's I think it's a mortuary tagline somewhere that I read, but I like it. It's catchy. Right. So you don't want to leave a mess for your family. Certainly, if you care for them, you don't want to do that. So we run into it. Absolutely. You know, and when Tim, something you mentioned, you know, a lot of times the kids, you know, they're like, hey, my parents don't need a reverse mortgage. And I'm like, have you been to your parents' house lately? Have you seen what they're, how they're living? You know, in some of those, and you run into it and you're like, you're not making a mortgage payment. You're not dropping by enough here. You know, dire circumstances, or maybe they're not dire, but things could be going better. So how do you prepare people for, you know, for later stages in life and ultimately when they leave the planet, or whatever happens to them?
It's like, mom's doing pretty good. She ain't eating the hard cat food. She's got, you know, she's got the good canned stuff, you know. Awesome.
Yeah.
It's got different flavors. It's got, I mean, she's got swordfish, for God's sakes.
Well, and you know, and here's the thing. I mean, not to beat up on the public school system, but I will. You know,
please
the
problem do. It's a mess.
Exactly. But the problem is, for decades, the benefit of your clients, right? Our clients, everybody on this call, really, in this podcast, all of our clients, 65 and up, they don't even have the education because it benefits the powers that be that you don't know about these things. And then when you tell them, they're like, well, that just sounds too good to be true. That can't be possible. There's got to be some catch or whatever. You know, I believe that our public educators that are out there and those who are, you know, dangling the puppet strings, if you will, they benefit by your clients and our clients collectively not knowing that reverse mortgages are a financial tool, not understanding estate planning can be accessible to the mass affluent, right? Which is why I wake up every single day. Every single day, I wake up trying to help somebody's grandparents, right? As if they're my own, on making sure that they have the tools accessible to make sure all of your affairs in order. You do the same type of thing, Christian. And when we spoke originally, I was like, man, we are so simpatico and believe in, especially 65 and up. That's the demographic we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
They need the education on why reverse mortgages are critically, potentially critically beneficial to them and having a meaningful retirement, right? And then what happens when you're no longer here? We got to make sure that the distribution plans are set into place and everything. So the mass affluent demographic, that 500,000 to 5 million area, that's very underserved. That's who I wake up every single day wanting to make an impact for the future, because I don't want things like I've seen have happened, the horror stories that happen when you don't do the proper planning, proactive planning that happens in families. Guess what happened? They fracture if you don't do the proper planning. And that's why I wake up and why, you know, what my why is. And I love the passion that you have, Christian, with RMF on being able to deliver, working through the Financial Advisor Network, on why it's a critical financial tool.
It is. And people, a lot of people will think also, Carter, that, that's a lawyer. That's expensive, right? But, estate planning doesn't have to be expensive. It's a necessary, I think it's a necessary component to, to protect your family, not just financially, but you're right. It causes a lot of, behavioral rifts if you're not clear about what you want, who gets grandma's china and who gets the silver or whatever. That should be laid out. Nobody's going to argue with the person who spelled it out before their death.
Yeah, it's actually a good thing too, because when I know every single client that I had, because I think that's why I went into financial advising afterwards. I hooked up with a really awesome estate planning attorney back in the day, and I was pushing them. I'm like, you need to go get a trust set up. You need to go get a trust. And now they actually had a little cash from reverse mortgage to go do it. Then they found out it wasn't that big of a deal. They had a few meetings. Yeah. Now with Carter's program, it's really easy. So it was really good because their reverse mortgage, they're kind of thinking, they're realizing they're mortal, right? And they're kind of planning for the last few years. They want to enjoy that. And then it's like, it's natural fit to get their estate plan done at the same time. So Carter would be, you guys should be like peanut butter and jelly. Working together.
Our first few meetings actually went pretty well. Yeah. And one thing, and I'll go back, but you sound like you did this enough, Tim, you probably helped somebody like remodel the house, right? Like they're living at the house.
And oh yeah, totally.
Whatever study we look at, we know it's in the high 90 percentiles, like 95 plus. People want to age in place. Nobody wants to go to, a cold facility, even more so since COVID, right? Because of, any sort of place that was sealed, whether that was a assisted living, a ship, a prison, whatever. I mean, the virus just moved around in there. So people want to age in place. Let them remodel their bathroom and their kitchen and live those last, 10 years or 12 years or whatever it is with a house that's easier to get around in, to cook in, to do the daily activities of living. Let them enjoy that.
And tons of those, Christian, tons of them. Like, cause all the bedrooms were upstairs, but they couldn't get up and down the stairs. So we'd put in one of those chair lifts, right?
Yeah.
Or they would build a master bedroom downstairs. Right, stuff like that.
Walk-in shower, no sill.
Yeah, the walk-in bathtubs.
Yep.
Just be really careful that the people listen out there on the walk-in bathtubs, because there's some people online that are really scamming seniors on that stuff. This lady was like, I was like, where did you get this loan? It was like $15,000. She had to take a line of credit out of her credit union. She's like, oh, I got a walk-in bathtub. I was like, 15 grand?
Yeah.
I went and looked at it. It was just like a plastic insert. They were in and out in like one day. And I'm just like, oh, my God. So I had my I talked to my contractor. He's like, dude, I could have done a custom job made out of, I don't know, some exotic marble from Peru for $6,000, with bolt handles everywhere and, pimped out. And so anyway, look out for your senior clients when you're giving them money to ask them if they're going to be making any purchases and help them out. Be an advisor for the reverse mortgage people out there. If you're an advisor, make sure they're being stewards with their money. They're not getting taken advantage of.
Absolutely. So. No.
All right, guys. Well, I think that's it. We'll take a quick break. When we get back, we'll flip the script and let Christian ask me any question he wants on health. We'll be right back.
You want the absolute best for yourself, and you want it to be easy. That's why we created Green 85. It helps with detoxifying the body gently. We're proud it's chemical-free, unlike almost all other supplements you'll find. Bottom line, Green 85 will get you healthier. We look forward to hearing what Green 85 did for you.
To get this product and our other amazing products, go to chemicalfreebody.com. That's chemicalfreebody.com.
What's up, in Richards? Tim James here. I am back with my co-host, Carter Wilcoxon. Again, today in the house, we have Christian Mills from RMF, Reverse Mortgage Funding. And I also want to thank you, Christian, for being here. It's been great having you on the show. This is the section where we flip the script because this is the health and wealth podcast. We've talked a lot about the wealth stuff. And so this is the health segment. So you get to ask me any question on health for yourself personally, a friend, a family member, public health, whatever you want. I'll do my best to answer it.
Great. Well, it's one of the things that drew me to this when Carter told me about it was the intersection of health and wealth is, you know, it's being studied a lot these days. Food deserts, all these sorts of things. Dr. David Blanchett, I think he's with Prudential now. He does a lot about how we estimate how long people will live. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, your socioeconomic status, which unfortunately is not a level playing field. So I'm very interested in that. It goes hand in hand with behavioral finance. But I've got a question. So I ruptured my Achilles back in October of 2020. Mm-hmm. And was surgically repaired within a few days, and I did physical therapy and all that stuff. If you get a chance, don't rupture your Achilles tendon. I would recommend not doing that.
Did you fall down when it happened?
I collapsed, more or less.
Down you went. A buddy of mine I was playing basketball with one day. We just finished, and we're like high fiving and shaking hands, and then he took a step back, and down he went, and he pulled his Achilles. Yeah. That was it. Boom, snap.
No pass, bro, nothing like that, but. So I'm 55 years old. I went through the first piece, happened during COVID. I'm going back to see a new, like a kind of a sports thing. I'm an avid skier and mountain person. But for me, what would you recommend? You know, I just met you, you know, today. So I've got to, I'm going to see a whole new a group, which of course my insurance won't cover or anything like that. But I'm invested in it because if I don't take care of myself, you know, nobody else will. So.
So do you have limited, you have it working, but is it limited mobility? Is it stiff? Is there pain down there?
It is. It's more, I can, this is the good leg. I can move up and down like that. Surgically repair leg. You know, I have about 70% range of motion or something like that. So,
okay.
I just saw my surgeon again a couple of weeks ago. Everything's fine. That's going well. It takes time, you know, is what they tell me. So,
yeah. Well, the fastest way to heal anything is increasing your blood flow.
Okay.
That's number one. So then the question is like, what can I do to increase my blood flow? So, grounding pads, have you heard of grounding or earthing?
I've heard of it. I don't know what that is. And I've heard of cupping and stuff like that too, but
a little bit different. So the earth puts off an energy. So it's an energy source for us. It's like a battery pack. So just like plugging you got a battery charger in the side of the wall and you stick your batteries in there, it charges. Well, when we have our bare skin in touch with the earth, it's charging us. It's not woo woo stuff at all. I can measure your blood, look at it under a microscope and see it moving around, put your bare foot on the ground for 4 hours and then prick your finger and test again. You'll see the blood racing around in the microscope. Literally, as soon as we break contact with the earth, inflammation begins. So as soon as you recontact with it, it takes inflammation down. And when you're trying to heal, it's all about reducing inflammation. You do that through blood flow and bringing, you know, oxygen and water to that system to pull the inflammation out. So what you can do is you can get these grounding sheets that are lined with silver. And then every residential building, there's one called Ground Lux, GroundLux. Those are sheets. Or you can go to a place called earthing.com and they have pads. Like right now I have, you guys check this out. See this pad right here? This is actually plugged in and I'm grounding right now while I work. I'm grounding 24/7 because I understand the importance of this. So there's documentaries on grounding and earthing. You should check it out. They'll blow your mind. Like earthing.com, the documentary. And you'd be like, how did I not know about this? I'm getting one of these immediately, and you can actually hack your sleep. Like, I have a whoop watch on right now, kind of a whoop band, they call it, or an Aura ring, and you can actually hack, track your sleep, and it will definitely improve your sleep and everything else. And recovery, we definitely get people that are post-surgery, but everybody should just be grounding. So outside of every residential and commercial building, there's an iron rod going down, and there's that wire coming in. That's the third prong, or the foundation, that the ground to the electrical grid. It's the third prong. So these things, you just plug into the third prong only, and it brings that current from the Earth's energy into those threads, those silver threads into your sheet, and you're grounding at night while you sleep, or laying on a pad, or I'm touching this pad right now and I'm grounded, see? So that's a very passive way to start healing. Another thing you can do is CBDs, a high-quality CBD product is very good. I actually had a guy who was an ultra-marathoner, David Clark. God rest his soul, he passed away because he died in just a routine back surgery. It's horrible. But as one of my buddies, and he ruptured his Achilles, and he was completely recovered in a third of the time the doctors thought. And what I'm sharing with you is the recipe that I gave him. So it was like the grounding sheet, and then we did the he was doing a high quality CBD product. They're hard to find, but there's one, a True Balance, that they have a really good one, TREW balance.com, and I think it was called Five Golden Rings, FGR, was what he was taking. And when you're fresh out of a hurt, you know, you kind of double down on it, right, for a few months. So we did that. Also, lots and lots of really high-quality water, right? Okay. So lots and lots of water, because that's going to be – that's the lubricant of life. That's going to help. That's number one for inflammation. Number four would be infrared saunas. Infrared saunas, if you get the right ones, are really going to speed up blood flow, because they're going to actually shrink your blood molecules, and they're going to allow your blood to get into dormant capillaries. And it's just going to, you're going to, once you get one of these saunas, you're going to be wondering again, why the hell I didn't have all this stuff. So I've been hacking, if you want to say that, or I've been, you know, adding things to my life and trying them out for 11 years now. And I found certain things that have moved the needle tremendously for me. I've shared them with thousands of clients around the world now, and everybody loves them. So what I'm sharing with you is like things that you can stack together that will really totally move the needle in recovery, and healing and stuff like that. Now for something, obviously nutrition is huge as well, but you know, so, you know, taking a really good quality, making sure you're getting your, you know, greens in is very important. We actually have a product called Green 85 where you can scoop it twice a day and do it on the go and get, you know, 5 pounds of vegetable matter in your body twice a day, nutrient wise, and very simple. And then the last thing I would say is for more of a targeted approach. Let's do two things. Let's do mechanically, you could get somebody to get down there and work on that thing. So look into somebody who's like a, they're a Rolfer. So okay. You familiar with that?
Yes, a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. So for those listening, if you're not, because it sounds weird, the first time I heard it, I couldn't even pronounce it. It was kind of like when my buddy got chronic lymphocytic leukemia. I couldn't even pronounce the darn word. But Rolfing was developed by a woman named Ida Rolf. That's where the term came from. So Rolfing is her technique that she developed to work on the body. So she gets deep into fascia and stuff like that. So getting somebody in there to really work around that area in your foot at a deep level, not just some surface level BS massage, very important mechanically. They can also, you can watch them and you can have them teach you how to work on your own foot, right? Because you can reach down there. The other thing mechanically is yoga, you know, yoga and stretching posture. So yin yoga, I think, would be something that you should write down and look into. I think you'll really enjoy it. And as we age, this is basically, you know, heading you back to becoming a baby and becoming flexible again. You know, when kids come out, they're all flexible. And as we age, one of the signs of aging is we're getting stiff and we don't move as much. It's the reason why we get stiff and we don't move as much is because we don't move as much. That's it. So we're not stretching. We have to get in there and we have to work. And yin yoga is basically 3 to 10 minute stretching postures where you'll gently do a position and you're just on the edge of discomfort, but not too much. So these fascia and what you got going on in there are like taffy. So after about 90 seconds of a stretch, then they start to move. So the first 90 seconds is just kind of warming them up. And then the next 90 seconds plus is where the pay dirt is. And then you'll start feeling younger and stuff like that. You can do those kind of stretches, but be very careful because you've had that, you know, you want to be very gentle with this. Do not push it. Just very gentle and really focus on your breath work. And the last thing I would say is something you could do now that I actually believe in I mean, I know it works, but I was really worried about chemicals, is stem cell. And there's lots of different stem cell therapies out there, but I actually, I just had a stem cell expert on. Now there's nano stem cell. So they're actually taking the energy out of the stem cells from the placentas from newborns, and we're able to do that. And it's cleaned up, because I didn't want to put the blood of anybody in me because of the toxic chemicals. I mean, every single child being born, the umbilical cord studies show there's 180 cancer-causing chemicals in the womb of every newborn today. So that told me 9 years ago, everybody's polluted. And that's why my company's called Chemical Free Body, is because my mission is to bring awareness to this, because the older we are, the more time we've had to bioaccumulate these toxins in our fat and our muscle tissue and our brain. And it's just a matter of time before a straw will break the camel's back with this toxic microscopic body burden. So your cells have like these backpacks of toxins on them they're packing around. So we teach you to sweep that crap out. Your cells are unburdened. You become unburdened, you get your energy back and stuff like that. But those stem cells, I'm just looking it up. I can't remember what it is, but it's, you have to look it up. It's the stem cell podcast, my podcast called The Health Hero Show. Look that up, and you can connect with that doctor. But okay. that would be a nice stack for you. All the stuff I gave you is plenty to get you going. And you should, besides helping you heal your Achilles, if you do what I just shared with you, you're going to have a much healthier, happier life. And you're going to have a higher quality of life, too, to enjoy all those. You know, helping more people do reverse mortgages and enjoy the income you've earned and saved so hard.
Excellent. Well, thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome.
And you, since we're, you know, it, not all about me here, you know, I'm interested in your take on what it would take to have some sort of leveling of the, this is a big question, Tim and Carter, sorry, we get derailed here, but, you know, the healthcare industry, the insurance stuff, you know, is mind boggling to me. And I don't pretend to understand it, exactly or anything along those lines. But it's certainly, you know, I still don't understand why a healthcare company could pay less than an individual. It seems like they have more money. They should pay more. When you go see a doctor, you know, you ever get the bill and it says, here's what your physician charged. Here's what we negotiated and paid. I guess it's the power of, deeper pockets or something along those lines. But, because how you measure where we are as the United States of America, we don't have healthcare for everybody. I mean, that kind of makes me a little nuts, I got to tell you.
I'll just say this. We actually do have healthcare for everybody. Everybody can get healthcare in the United States of America. There's no one that can walk into a hospital and be denied healthcare. Nobody, right? But what you're talking about is health insurance for everybody to be able to not have to pay for it, or you pay less for it than somebody else. Here's the one thing that people are blown away by this. But I take my health pretty seriously, which is why whenever I met Tim, you know, the Health and Wealth podcast and the whole infancy of that, it made perfect sense for the two of us to join forces. But, you know, the thing that I found out a long time ago is all that stuff that's that they charge you so much for whenever you go in to get anything, no matter what it is, that's all like negotiated. Your healthcare provider. And I haven't had health insurance for me and my family for 12 years, right? Because all my doctor cares about is getting paid. So I literally negotiate with him to pay. Just simply not having insurance for him is less of a burden. I'm talking pediatrician, right? Less of a burden for him. He just wants to get paid. And then I get basically a discounted rate simply because I don't even have health insurance. I just pay straight out of pocket. The amount of, for a healthy family that's constantly being healthy and serious about health, you know how little we actually have to go. It's not about those little things that along the way that are concerning for parents. It's those big things about what can happen to your kids or whatever in order to pay for that. But I know I'm kind of sort of all over the place with this. But I made the decision, actuarially speaking, again, I would much rather keep all that extra money in my pocket. Like whenever I used to work for a company before I started my own, my health insurance was free. But to add my family to it, it was like, now this is however many years ago at the time, talking 15 years ago when I used to work for a company. It was like $600 a month just to add my family. And then of course you got the co-pays, you got all that stuff. You start doing the math, adding that up over so many years. You're like, wait a second. Can I just work directly with my doctor, my primary care physician, and pay? And guess what? 75% off what it would have cost me originally. And I had to go to emergency one time for my son. And they simply said, okay, here's how much it costs. You don't have insurance. Here's how much it would have cost, but we're going to take 75% off. Here's all you owe. Now that's just me personally, right? But that's, I guess, risking but it's really some of those critical things that can happen along the way, right?
And, yeah, like accidents, surgeries, and things like that. That stuff's expensive, right?
Exactly. So, anyway, I'm not in the healthcare field at all, honestly. I'm in the retirement planning field, right?
Yep.
So,
I'm with you.
We're big fans of long-term care for that reason, long-term care insurance, life insurance, annuities, things of that nature, right, that deal with your retirement planning. So I'm just giving you my own take on the healthcare racket, as far as I'm concerned, is what it feels like to me. But I just, for me and my family, I'm like, why do I want to keep paying all this? And then you got to pay your copay, and then you got to pay. It feels like it's constantly, you're just constantly paying in. Feels a little bit like for your car insurance, right? Just in case you get an accident, but you get these discounts if being a good driver, and like after all these years you pay in, you're just like, it's an actuarial math. I mean, there's a reason why insurance companies, let's just be honest about it. There's a reason why insurance companies, I don't care which one it is, in the health field or in the life field, they have the biggest buildings out there. Now, why is that? Why do they have the biggest buildings with all the employees and they make all this money? It's because it's a numbers game and they know that they're winning it. It's much like Vegas.
Yeah. Well, they don't make billions of dollars by paying claims. That's for sure. So, yeah.
Well, and the bottom line is like, we just have to get back and like, why would we want health insurance? Why would we want to go into a broken system? I mean, we're the sickest people have ever been. And what you're going to walk out of there with is synthetics for your acid-based synthetics for your carbon-based body. There's actually where I was living down south of Portland, there's a little town called Canby. There's a clinic called the Canby Clinic. It's primary care naturopathic medicine. And their thing was like cutting-edge medicine, old-fashioned care. And because of the rising costs and gaps in benefits, chronic and even emergency health needs are going unmet. So people are treated with quick-fix pharmaceuticals. And, you know, the long-term relationship with a doctor that oversees your health for a long time is almost obsolete. So
yes.
In response to that, what's happening is they're looking for more patient-centered, affordable, cutting-edge healthcare. And so they do membership-based practice approach. So basically what it is, it's a non-insurance model, and more clinics are doing this now so people can look for these in their local area all around the United States. And actually, Oregon, it was the first naturopathic clinic to offer this. So basically, there's like a $75 enrollment fee, and then if you're 0 to 17 years old, it's $30 a month. If you're 18 to 30, it's $60 a month. If you're 31 to 44, it's $80 a month. If you're 45 and older, it's $105 a month. And you get unlimited visits, unlimited blood draws, blah, 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 right? So you just pay a monthly membership fee, and that's it. And it's way less than insurance. I mean, it was, my God, it's like when a family of four is paying $1,500 a month for insurance that then goes into a broken system that doesn't work. That is complete madness to do this. And one of the reasons why these costs are so much is there's so many in-between people in the insurance industry. They're called GPOs and PBMs. We need to go direct, right? So if you look at a hospital as an example, this was like, I think it was around 2006, right? When I first actually started doing reverse mortgages, I was doing a loan for this guy that was a purchasing director for a hospital. And just for shits and giggles, I was like, hey dude, how much does a Tylenol cost somebody in the hospital? And he's like, I don't know. Let me check. And he got back and he goes, one Tylenol to be given to somebody in the hospital, this is like 2006, was like $17.40 something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? I'm like, that is crazy. It's like, just, it should be 2 cents. And then first off, you shouldn't put Tylenol on your body anyway, because that shit's terrible. But there's many other options. But anyway, there's the middleman, it's a racket. Anything that's big business, big politics, big media, all that stuff. If it's on TV, it's probably not good for you. Unless it's, you know, unless it's a reverse mortgage ad. That's about it. I mean, but it's like,
yeah,
it's funny, but, yeah. So the public system is screwed. And if you want to get out of it, the quickest way to get out of it is take care of your own health, grab the reins of your health and figure this stuff out and learn. It's not really that hard to do. And then you don't get sick. Like, I don't go to the doctor anymore. Why would I go? I'm healthy. Think about it. In nature, how many hospitals are in nature? There isn't any. Animals don't need them because they're plugged into their natural system. They're getting their natural food, their natural movement, the natural sunshine, the natural connection with Mother Earth. They don't need that stuff. Yeah, every once in a while. I bet right now if we took the entire medical system and shit canned all of it, overall our health would improve tremendously. Tremendously if we just got rid of the whole thing. Like literally, it's really embarrassing how bad it is. It's kind of like our politics and, you know, past probably half a dozen presidents we've had. It's embarrassing, right? It's an embarrassing thing. Now for critical care, somebody gets in an accident, it's amazing. But for the rest of it, man, it's really, I'm really embarrassed, to be even associated with it at all. I mean, I'm not, but the best way to stay away from it is just, to take care of your health. Like Benjamin Franklin said, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. Carter, ta-da. I think we're done, dude.
that's awesome. So, hey, Enrichers, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of the Health and Wealth Podcast. And I want to go ahead and thank you again, Christian. Thank you so much for coming on, sharing your backstory. I know we didn't get into SEC, you know, baseball, football, or anything like that. I know you're a Kentucky guy.
Oh, man, you just reminded me. We did talk about golf for sports, and he's still ditching it in at the end. I can't believe it. This is monumental.
It is monumental. We somehow get that in every single time. But, hey, it was okay because – I think it was awesome for our listenership, our enrichers, to be able to hear more. You got into the weeds with reverse mortgages, the benefits to it. Obviously, Tim, with his background and everything, he was able to, you know, share some of his stories and everything as relevant now as it was back then. Right.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So, Christian, seriously, thank you so much for coming on and educating our listenership on this critical piece and everything. So, enrichers, thank you again for joining us for another episode. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe our podcast. And for all of our previous guests, go to our website at www.thehealthandwealthpodcastshow.com. And again, for my fantastic co-host, Mr. Chemical Free Body himself, Tim James, and our wonderful guest today, Christian Mills from Reverse Mortgage Funding, I'm Carter Wilcoxon, CEO and co-founder of Epic Services Company and CSI Financial Group, wishing you all a very wonderful day. And until next time, we will see you on the Health and Wealth Podcast. Thank you, everybody. Hey, Enrichers. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Health and Wealth Podcast. I'm your host, Carter Wilcoxon.
And I'm your host, Tim James. And by God, we are committed to helping you guys have fat wallets, flat bellies. So tune in again for another episode and make sure to like, share, and drink a lot of water.
Or beer.
You have just listened to the Health and Wealth Podcast with Carter and Tim.